Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. Truly beautiful one we love, beautiful one we adore. We are grateful unto our living God for such a beautiful day. The Lord has been so gracious to our lives and has kept us to this very day, the last day of the month, January. We bless the name of the living God. Amen. Amen. We still have 11 months ahead for this new year. Amen. So there's still hope. As the one who led the corporate prayer charity said, if you amend your ways, there's still hope. And never enter into the coming month with the same kind of vessel that you possess in this month. Because with that vessel, it will be old for the new month. And the anointing of God and the power of God that is required for the coming month, your vessel that you possess in this month might not be the right one for the coming month. So you need to amend your ways. You need to amend your life so that you can contain the anointing and be effective in the coming year for the kingdom building. Amen. This morning I'm privileged to speak on what I've titled, Go Forward. Go Forward. And my main text will be taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 14, verse 13 down to 15. And I believe that we all know the last year theme. What was the last year theme? Growing together. And this year, even as the children were told by our presiding elder, fight the good fight of faith. And so why growing together and continuing when fight the good fight of faith? Could somebody help me? Anyway, let's look into the Bible. Right. You know, in the Bible, there are always giants occupying any land of promise. There are always giants occupying any land of promise. There are always challenges before our place of influence. There are always challenges before our land of possession. They are never a free token. And so if God, by his leading, had led us to understand that there's a need to grow together, and is leading us that there's a need to fight the good fight of faith, that means that he's empowering us to overcome every giant that is before us in entering into our place of destiny. And so it calls for fight. It calls for us to engage in a battle. In Genesis 12, verse 1 to 7, the Bible made it very clear there when God called Abraham and he told him to go to the land Canaanite, he made him to understand that there are people already in that land Canaan. There were already giants in the land of Canaan, and yet God called him. Confrontations and warfare are parts of our journey to the promised land. And so you should not be scared. You shouldn't be afraid when you are faced with challenges and difficulties in life. They are part of it. And you need to overcome them before you get to your place of destiny and your place of influence in this life. And therefore, turn and tell your neighbor that get ready to fight. Get ready to fight. And fight the good fight of faith. Beloved in the Lord. Another thing that we can also realize as the reason why we need to fight the good fight of faith is simply that we all have an assignment. We have a ministry of reconciliation that the Bible describes in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18, that you and I have been called into a ministry of reconciliation. And in that ministry, because of the demand on our lives, our Lord Jesus Christ told us something in the book of Mark chapter 3 verse 24 to 27. That if a kingdom is divided against itself, it will not stand. If a house is divided against itself, it will not stand. And if Satan rises up against his other Satan, they will be divided and there will be an end to their life. And in a strong man's house, if anyone wants to enter there, the person must be strong enough to dispossess that strong man before he can plunder his house. That was the words of our Lord Jesus Christ to us, telling us the need for us to have our lives or maybe our conscience ready to fight. And as we read from that text, we realize that no one can fight in division. No group of people can fight in disunity. No group of people can fight without a common purpose. You can't stand. As our Lord Jesus Christ made it very clear in that illustration. And so as our responsibility in building the kingdom of God, as our responsibility in building our own lives, in building our family, in building our society and the world at large, we need to be united. We need to be of one purpose and one mind so that we'll be able to face any opposition that will rise up against us. Beloved, with this responsibility, God is entreating us to get ourselves in order to be able to enter into that strong man's house. That strong man is holding a lot of people in captive. People he did not create. The devil had not created anybody before. But he's holding a lot of people in captive. Captive to sin. Captive to all forms of evil. And it's our duty that Christ has called us to reconcile them back to him. But how do we do that? We need to fight the enemy. We fight him with the steadfastness of our spirit in prayer and in all diverse form of what intercession to redeem them from the camps of the enemy. And so the Lord God entreats us to rise up and fight. The Bible says that the kingdom of God has suffered violence, and the violent men take it by force. When you read something in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 12, it says, since the day of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God has not been that easy. It is taken by people with that kind of steadfastness in spirit, determined in heart, ready to launch out into the deep, ready to take it by the power of God. That is the kind of attitude that Christ expects us to build up since the day of John the Baptist, to fight the good fight of faith, so that we'll be able to build the kingdom of God in our lives, in our family, and in the world at large. And so the Lord God is entreated. That's the main reason. So you should not look at our team as just maybe a mere team. It's really in line with the mission of Christ on earth, because we need to fight. GICF, as we stand, we are more than able and more than enough to take the whole of Gwangju, if not the whole of China, to the Lord. If only we will rise up and live up to expectation. If only we rise up and fight the good fight of faith in our workplaces. In every environment we find ourselves, if we fight the good fight of faith, we are more than able to turn the whole nation around to Christ. We are more than able. But our failure had made it very difficult to rise up and bring about God's glory. Shall we bow down our head as we come before the Lord in prayer? Our gracious and everlasting Father, we are grateful unto you this morning. Father, we have come to seek your face. We have come to seek your word of life, that will lead us to eternity. Father, may your word be found, Lord, even as you speak to us, O Lord. That, Lord, we may be able, Lord, to step out in faith and do whatever you have ordained our lives for, unto your glory and unto your honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. This morning, we are just going to look into the main text, that is Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 to 15. And our focus is going to be identifying two basic weapons that are so important to fighting this good fight of faith. And so shall we quickly read from the Exodus chapter 14, 13 to 15. I read from the New King James Version. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Tell the children of Israel to go forward. The situations and the challenges surrounding us will not change by our cry, will not change by our fear, will not change by anything of our own, unless we obey the command of God, go forward. As a child of God, go forward in faith. Fight the good fight of faith.
fight the good fight of faith and you advance over every hurdle that is before you, and you enter into your place of influence, your place of promise, and your life will be unto God an everlasting glory. Beloved in the Lord, at this point, the children of Israel all know the story. Were then being sandwiched by the Red Sea before them and the army of Pharaoh pursuing them, about to capture them. And that could be described as maybe our situation. But I'm here to tell you that in the midst of that, our Lord God instructed Moses to tell the children of Israel to go forward. To go forward and fight the battle and dispossess the enemy. And so today, through that same text, we are going to learn about some basic two weapons that Moses encouraged the children of Israel to be armed with. And to start with, the very first one is fear not. Fear not. And beloved, Moses telling them fear not, it wasn't just a motivational kind of speech to excite them to feel that maybe everything is under control. Or maybe just take it easy, it will be well in the year. Or don't worry yourself, the soul will come, you just forget about. It wasn't any motivational, because the people by then, they knew what was ahead of them. They knew what was coming after them. And they knew their condition, how dangerous and life-threatening it was. And so Moses at that moment was not giving them any sweet talk to let them forget about their worries. No. He was emphasizing on the fact that the key to their victory, the key to them overcoming all the challenges surrounding them, is for them not to fear. For them not to fear. Even though it's real that people are coming. Even though it's real the Red Sea is before you. But fear not. In our Red Sea moment, in our moments where people are persecuting us, things are challenging our lives. Beloved, the only certain word that God has for us is fear not. Fear not. Today, they knew where they were. The people knew where they were. But the question to ask now is, in our journey of life, in our mission field in China, in our mission field in this world, where are we? Are we before our Red Sea? And we have army challenging us or persecuting us? Or we are people that probably have taken it so relaxed? And maybe so passive in the things of God. Where are we spiritually in our mission, in our calling? Are we people that are also being challenged in this life? Or we are taking things very easy? They knew where they were. They knew that the Red Sea was before them. And behind them was a well-trained army. And so they felt so fearful. They were very, very fearful. And probably that could be our situation today. We might be very fearful because we have no hope. In terms of maybe preparedness. Maybe you realize that in the situation you are not prepared. And so you feel that like, this thing, I can't handle it. Maybe you are fearful because there is no army to defend you. They had no army by then. And so there's no army to defend them. And so you might be fearful because you don't have any technical skills. You don't have any technical knowledge about that thing which you are facing. The situation, you can't handle it in any way. Or maybe you may be fearful because you feel you are unarmed. The children of Israel were not armed. They were not trained soldiers. And so you may be fearful. Yes, you have a reason to be fearful. But the word of the Lord to us that we should fear not. Fear is not of God. That is one thing we have to know. Fear is of the devil. And so the book of 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. God has not given us the spirit of fear. And so we must know that the fear that sometimes threatens our lives are not from God. We must exercise faith. We must exercise love. We must exercise sound mind in the word of God. And in so doing, we'll be able to dispossess the enemy of his fear that he cast upon our lives. God told Abraham in Genesis 15 verse 1 that do not be afraid in a vision. That means do not fear, Abraham. So today, whatever situation you are faced with, if you can tell yourself, I will not fear, because that's here the word of the Lord. He told Abraham, do not fear, Abraham, for I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. That is the word of the Lord to us this morning. That regardless of the situation we are facing, how stormy the storms may look like, do not be afraid. Do not fear, because we have Christ, who is our shield, to protect us and deliver us from every plot, attack, and snares of the enemy. And above all, he's also our everlasting reward, our exceedingly great reward. Our inheritance is him, the Lord. And who can take him away from us? If only we will not fear, but will stand still and fight the good fight of faith. Beloved in the Lord, that takes us to our second weapon. That is, stand still. He said, stand still. Beloved, in trouble moment, like our presiding elder led to demonstrate, that there's no need. You need to keep your mouth shut. In trouble moment, if you don't understand the situation, if you have no clue why all those things are happening, there is no need to talk plenty. Keep your mouth shut. If you have something to talk, talk to God in prayer. If you have something to say, say it in prayer to the Lord. But stop talking. Because in multitude of words lies sin. And the Bible says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, that it was because of murmuring that some of the Israelites were destroyed by the destroyer in the wilderness. Because of murmuring. The murmuring spirit is an evil spirit that opened the door for the enemy to enter into one's life to destroy the person. If you murmur, you can make that reference yourself. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 10. Because of murmuring, because of grumbling, they were destroyed by the destroyer. Today, I hope that none of us is willing to allow his life for the enemy to enter in and destroy. But instead, God wants us to be definite and firm. Definite and firm in everything that he had said concerning us. And in the book of Psalm 94, verse 16, our God sounded a trumpet over there, calling that for who will arise for me? Who will stand for me against evil and iniquity? And I believe that that trumpet is still sounding even now. Therefore, who will stand for me? Who will arise for me? Who will stand and defend my name in this world of iniquity and sin? In this area that the life that we are living is being compromised to the standards of this world. Who will arise? Who will stand in the midst of all that is happening and defend my name, says the Lord, in the book of Psalm 94, verse 16. Who will? The call is still going forth. Who will? Who will rise? Who will stand against evil? Who will rise against iniquity? Who will rise and enter into that strong man house and dispossess him of the people that he's holding captive that were not supposed, because the enemy had not created anyone before? Who would arise? Who would stand for the Lord? For the Lord is crying out, he's sounding out his trumpet to us and calling that for who will. Today, if we would arise and take up the stand for the Lord, the Bible says that his name will be glorified. Then there will be wonders on the earth for all nations to know that the Lord our God is our God who redeems. Beloved in the Lord, in the text we read, we cannot stand still without the following piece. And in fact, there are so many things you can't get out of the text we just read. But I've narrowed it down to just four pieces that I want us to consider in our standing still. We cannot stand still without a godly posture. We cannot stand still before the Lord. We cannot stand still before difficulties and challenges without a godly posture. And a godly posture basically talks about a godly attitude, our state of mind, and the belief system that influences everything that comes out of our life. We cannot stand still without a godly posture, a godly attitude. We need to stand still with a godly attitude. There are many kinds of attitudes unsuitable for battle. And most of us, our failure in battles is not because we don't fight, but we have the wrong attitude in fighting. And so it lands us in defeat. And so we need to put on the godly attitude, the right attitude in any battle that we are faced. By so doing, in our fighting the good fight of faith, if we put on the godly attitude, the right attitude in fighting, we'll be victorious. And so we are encouraged to put on the right attitude in battle. We have an illustration in the Bible in Numbers chapter 13. There was a time that 12 spies were sent to go and spy the land of Canaan. And among the 12, 10 came back with a different report, and 2 also had a different report. And for the 10 report, it's from the verse 31. It says, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people, when we saw in it, are men of great stature." The land of Canaan could be a symbolic land of maybe a land that God has promised us to take. For example, our land to possess or to control is the land China, maybe in Guangzhou. To engage on your mission. And so we are here for a specific mission. Yet we could see that this land is full of children of Anak, very strong, mighty in stature. They are not easily to overcome. And yet God had commissioned you onto that land. And these sons of Anak could represent the devil and his cohorts, hindering us from achieving our mission. But unless we rise up and fight, we will not be able to dispossess them and fulfill God's mission on this land. But then how about the two? The two also came out with this report that let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. They had the right attitude, the godly attitude. Because of their belief, because of what is inside them, they knew that the word of God is true, and therefore they are well able to overcome them. These are the people with the right attitude. And they have, because of that, they could fight against their enemies and overcome them. The children of Israel were faced with a challenge of putting up the right attitude. So at that moment, Moses was reminding them, stand still with the right attitude. Stand still with the godly attitude, because the God who promised to take you from Egypt had not changed. He had not changed his word. And in Acts 1 verse 18, he says, the same Jesus as you've seen going up will come. The same Jesus. He had not changed. He had called you to go. He has not changed his word, and he's counting on you for you to go. He has not changed. And so we should know that we should still stand on his word. Stand on his word, because that same Jesus who said go, went, and he says he's coming again. He's coming again. And how ready are we to receive him? They were faced with this challenge to put up the right posture. Today, should God look deep down our hearts now, what would the Lord see? In your heart, should God begin to disclose whatever is going on in your heart? What would the Lord God see? Is it something that is fit to fight the good fight of faith for his glory? Or something that is not fit in fighting this good fight that he has called us into? Our dear King David had the right posture. He had the right attitude. When God was looking for a king, he told Samuel in 1 Samuel 16 verse 7 that for men looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord God looks at the heart. The heart attitude is that which motivates, which could only help you to stand. If the attitude is wrong, your standing may be wrong. And so the heart of men is the throne room of our attitude. Very difficult to understand. But then anything, the one in charge of our throne room, the one in charge of our heart, determines whatever comes out of our lives. So if Christ is the one in charge and you are committed to his command, I can assure you, your attitude in life will be positive. Your attitude in life will be right before the Lord, and your battles shall be won by the Lord. Children of Israel were challenged to set the attitude right. Today, as we know in the book of Proverbs 4 verse 23, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. For the sake of time, we quickly rush to the standstill, the second one. That is, stand still on a godly purpose. stand still on a godly purpose. Our purpose. The people of Israel at that moment might felt that they've lost their purpose in life to their situation that they were faced with. There seems to be no hope. And so they were saying, no help. Where comes our help? And that could describe our situation today. We might have been in a situation maybe sandwiched by so many problems. But then I'm here to tell you that yes, that is the design of God. Jesus Christ said in the book of John 16:33 that in this world we would have troubles. But thank God that he did not say that trouble will have us. He says we will have troubles, but did not continue to say, and the trouble will have you. But then he says, for I have overcome the world. But do not fear, for I have what? Overcome the world. The troubles will come. The challenges will come. But praise God that God had already overcome it. And therefore, he had given that assurance that we will have them, but then we have overcome them. And so that trouble there symbolizes our purpose. They come to challenge our purpose. The trouble comes to shake you, to try and dispossess you, position you from where you originally belong in Christ. He wants to relocate you. The problem wants to relocate you. But in which way do we respond to it? Standing in the Lord, being firm in the purpose of the living God. We know of Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was in prison. He was in trouble. But the trouble couldn't have his purpose. He still stood firm with a steadfast spirit. We know of Joseph. He was persecuted and in prison. Trouble galore every here and there. But none of these troubles had him. Because he was steadfast in the spirit. He was steadfast in the Lord. And maintained the purpose of God concerning his life. And in that case, should we respond to our troubles? Should we allow our troubles to reign our lives? No. We must stand fast in the Lord. Stand still in the Lord. But the truth of the whole case is that a natural man had no purpose of his own. A natural man had no purpose of his own. The Bible says in Acts 17 verse 28 that in him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. In him. So if you are not in him, mind you have no purpose. You only become purposeful when you are in him. And so the purpose of God for our lives is for us to accept his gift, that is his son Jesus Christ. This morning, if you are here and you've not made that step of accepting Christ, I can frankly tell you that you have no purpose. You have no purpose. And trouble will have you. For those in Christ, they will have trouble, but the trouble will have them. But those without Christ will have trouble, and the trouble will have them. And so we should know that if you are not in the Lord, if you've not made that step to accept Christ, then you are in for trouble. The Lord expects us to be purposeful. And in summary to this, in Psalm 93 verse 6, it says, declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all people. We are to stand still. And in our standing still, in steadfastness, the Bible says that we end up declaring the glory and the wonders of God to the nations and to the people. If you bow to sin in your workplace where all others are sinners, and they realize that you are drinking from the same cup they are drinking, how would they see the difference? How would they know the God that you are worshiping? How would they know that is the God of wonders and the God that needs to be glorified? We need to stand on God's purpose to be able to declare his glory, both in victories and in troubled times. The Lord expects us to fight the good fight of faith, move forward, and lay hold of the eternal life that he has for us. Beloved in Christ, fighting the good fight of faith is fighting in God's purpose. Not fighting outside God's purpose. Not getting out there with AK-47 and begin to spray people. No. Fighting in God's purpose. Fighting in God's way. going forward and laying hold of the eternal life. They had a challenge, the challenge of standing still in their purpose. And one of the thieves or the robbers of standing still on our purpose is distraction. Distractions derail us from God's purpose. When we give in to distractions, we end up going on a path that we are not destined to. That is distractions derail. There were so many distractions facing the children of Israel by then. And so, could it be in our situation that so many distractions at the point of crisis, that is where you have so many counselors, so many directors, so many instructors, so many voices. Most of them are to distract you. But the only thing I can assure you here is still stand still on God's word for instructing your life. Stand still on God's word for instructing your life, and you'll be purposeful in your life. Proverbs 4:25-27 gives us the summary. It says, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Proverbs 4:25-27. Look straight, no left, no right. Right before you, looking straight unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Look straight. Look straight. Do not turn left or right. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And beloved, there is a specific instruction that remove your foot from evil. What can you see in your life that you realize or you can clearly notice that it's something that is evil? He says that remove it. It's a deliberate act that you have to get yourself involved. Stop it. In other words, he wants you to stop that evil. Take your foot from that way. That is not right. God is commanding us. If we want to stand in God's purpose, we must not stand in evil. We are to remove our foot from evil. And we can find that illustration in Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2. Last but not the least, stand still on a godly perspective. And we all know the very famous quote, 2 Corinthians 5, 7, that for we walk by faith, not by sight. Beloved in Christ, our perspective must be in faith as children of God. Faith perspective is so important for us fighting in this good fight and moving forward to lay hold on the eternal life that is set before us. So what is faith perspective? It is looking at situation in the light of the gospel and the power of God's Holy Spirit. Looking at situation in the light of the gospel and the power of God's Holy Spirit. David looked at Goliath with the eyes of faith. He saw the uncircumcised defeated foe of the Philistine. With the eyes of God and by the power of the Spirit of God, he was able to overcome him. Whereas King Saul and the army were the same eyes open, yet they saw an unconquerable giant. Faith perspective. Stand still with a godly perspective, with the eyes of God, with what the word of the Lord says about the situation, and you'll be able to overcome and fight the good fight of faith. Beloved in the Lord, David had a very godly posture, had a godly purpose, and had a godly perspective to fight and stop the wicked one, the Goliath. So what perspective do we carry in our crisis, in our moment of difficulties, when we are faced with the Red Sea? What kind of perspective do we have? The Lord God is challenging us not to behold things as unconquerable, because in Christ there is nothing impossible. God is all possible. He turns even our errors to good for his glory. That makes him an impossible God. He is all possible. Moses challenged them to stand still in their faith perspective. Do not move by sight, but be moved by faith, looking at situation in the light of God, so that you'll be able to overcome every work of the enemy. By the power of his Holy Spirit, let us feed our souls with the word of God. Let us feed our soul with the things of God. so that our souls will be full of him, so that our perspective will be right. For most of us, the reason why we can't see things the right way is because of the things that we are fed with. We are feeding our souls with so many junks, and as a result, we are unable to have faith perspective on issues. The world has now become our director. Everything that goes around, we know about them. But little do we know about the Bible. We know everything that goes on. But little do we know about the Bible. Let us feed our soul with the things of God. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." Whatever you are full of in your heart, that comes out at the end of the day. Beloved, let us change our perspective by feeding more on God's word. And then we'll be able to change our destiny. We'll be able to change our direction, supposing we are going astray from God's will and purpose for our lives. That takes us to our last, stand still on a godly position. Position yourself right before the Lord. Where are we standing before the Lord in our spiritual life now? Which stand do we have or do we take in moments of crisis? Do we take stands to honor the Lord or stands to dishonor our living God? Our ability to honor the Lord and be pleasing to the Lord is based on our position before him. If you are not standing right before the Lord, you will lack the strength to take the right decision to honor his holy name. The Israelites were challenged to check their position that they were standing before the Lord. Are we standing on Christ's righteousness or we are standing on any other foundation? God asked Adam, "Where are you?" in Genesis 3 verse 9. That question was not to find the geographical location of Adam, but he was trying to find out, or he was trying to question him about his spiritual position. And Adam had disobeyed, and as a result had sinned against God, and that has brought separation between him and God. And so his position that God meant for him, he was no longer standing there. And so today, could God ask that question right now? Should he ask that question right now? Where are you, my son? Where are you, my daughter? What would be your response? Would you say you are still standing at his right position in him? Or you are standing on a different foundation? Our Lord God is still sounding that call. Where are you, my children? The key to fighting the good fight of faith the right way is to position ourselves right in Christ. Accepting Christ as our Lord and personal Savior. That gives us the covering of Christ's righteousness in this life. And if we have not taken that step, beloved, it doesn't matter how hard you try to have maybe a godly posture, maybe in your own understanding. It doesn't matter how hard you try to have maybe a godly kind of purpose, maybe in your own understanding. It doesn't matter how hard you try to have a godly perspective about things. It will still amount to nothing because you are not standing in the righteousness of Christ. You are not standing under the covering of our living Christ. God is still calling out, "Where are you, my son?" The Bible says that there is no name given under the heavens that a man could be saved except the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This morning, you might be here. The Lord might be talking to you. You feel convicted of maybe your ways, and God is talking to you. God is talking to you that take a step of faith and accept me as your Lord and personal Savior. Do not let this opportunity pass by. For us to fight a good fight, we need to accept our Lord Jesus Christ. For he promised to fight our battles for us. He promised that we will hold our peace. Is it peace you are in need of in your family, in any area of your life? What is it that you are looking for? The Lord says you will fight our battles for us, and we will hold our peace. Beloved in the Lord, I'm here to just challenge you that if you feel that the Lord is talking to you, we are running up. I'll just give you this opportunity to be on your feet yourself. If you feel God is talking to you, be on your feet and begin to talk to God this morning. If you feel that the Lord is talking to you, that my son, my daughter, make amends with me, rise up on your feet and begin to talk to God. Repent of your ways. Repent of your life. The things that you know deliberately that your foot is in, which is evil. Your foot is in it, which is not right and will not help you. The Lord is giving you this opportunity to rise up on your feet. Do not be too shy about the person sitting next to you, because on that day of judgment, that person will answer himself and you would also go before the Lord alone. And so do not let the influence of people around you deter you for the opportunity God has given to you. The God, our King, is sounding his call to his children that if you feel the Lord is talking to you, rise up and talk to him and make amends with him before the altar. God's altar is where we have all assembled this morning. It's not made by human, but God himself speaking his word to his people. Beloved in the Lord, just open up and begin to talk to God. Open up and talk to God. You might be a believer, but you might have lost your identity and position to this world. Everything goes in your life, even though you profess to know Christ. But the God of heaven says, I have something against you. In Revelation 2, 4 to 5, it said, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you had fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. This morning, the call of repentance is unto us. If you feel God is talking to you, the opportunity is still available. Be on your feet and just continue to talk. Be on your feet and begin to commune to God. Just talk to God. You need to make amends with him. You need to put yourself right, to put your life right with the Lord. Call on him. He's ready to listen to us. He's ready to make our lives new, to fulfill his glory. Just talk to the Lord. Just open up. Just open up to him. Just be sincere and ask for his grace. Be sincere and ask for his forgiveness. Be sincere and make amends with him. This is the last day of January. Don't enter into the remaining month with that same old life, with that same old skin. For the God is warning us that I'm coming quickly. I'm coming to you quickly to remove your lampstand. To remove your lampstand. Beloved in the Lord, thou seest the word of the living God. Finally, you might be in the race, but sometimes you feel you lack the strength to continue. You lack the power to say no to sin. And every time you regret and you come back again, the power of the Holy Ghost is available to empower you. The God, our King, is ready to strengthen you. You can also be on your feet if you want to talk to God. And talk to God that, Lord, I need your strength. I need you to empower me. To say no where I need to say no. To say no where I need to say no. To move where I need to move. To do your will, to please you. Beloved, make this commitment before the living God. Pledge your allegiance to him once again. That, Lord, I am for you. I need your strength. I am for you. I don't want the life that I've been living all this while. Please come and take control over my life. Empower me. Renew my heart. Renew my mind. Let me be empowered by your Holy Ghost to do your will in this end time. The Lord God is still sounding his trumpet. For who will? Who will arise for me? Who will stand for me? Who will? The Lord our God is still calling. Faithful Lord, we bless you and worship you. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy. Our Lord and King, may you behold the eyes of these men. The Lord have rededicated their lives unto you. Father, may they obtain your mercy and grace. May they obtain your strength and sealed their commitment with the power of your Holy Spirit. That they will walk in your fear, the fear of the Holy Ghost. That your will forever be done in their life. I thank you, Lord. Now, may the God of patience and comfort grant us to be like-minded towards one another, according to Christ Jesus, that we may with one mind and with one mouth glorify God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord God, may we receive one another just as Christ has also received us as one body, as we grow together and we launch into fighting the good fight of faith together. To your glory, Lord, we pray. As we enter into the remaining months of the year, O Lord, may we all say with the ancient prophet Isaiah, "Here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me." The Lord God, we may be able to fight this good fight of faith in fulfilling your glory and declaring your wonders unto the nations that you have called us into. Our Lord and King, draw us, O God, to sincere worship and intercession for the saints, for the lost, for the body of Christ, that Lord, we may all together stand in doing your will, in pleasing to you, that there will be signs and wonders, Father, in every ministry that you've called your people. We bless you, our King. We magnify your holy name. Help us, Lord, to fight the good fight of faith that you have called us into this year. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You may take your seat.